You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's Up to Me.
This is Reggie Hammond, your host for Finding Your Forte Talk Radio Show. I'm really excited. It's a little bit of a great morning here in Atlanta, and I'm here with a good friend, Craig Garrett. I'm excited to introduce you to for our show this morning. We look forward to talking to you today about a pretty exciting path that Craig has taken to pursue his passion and calling that we'll get a little bit more into. But one of the things that's significant about having him here today really just happened a few seconds ago. So we were listening to an artist that we both share a strong fondness for, who just happens to be local, Shante Can. And a little bit later in the discussion today, I'll share with you how those dots connected. And Craig was able to facilitate us having that show be the thing for our show. But for me, that was really significant. I think I may have shared this on a previous show, but there are a number of songs that just get me right, like just get me in the right mindset with regard to pursuing purpose and being inspired and just the right mentality for working through things. And that song, Free Your Dreams by Shante Can, is absolutely one of those songs. And on one of these shows, I have to share with you some of the other songs, but that one is significant just because she and her team were kind and generous enough to agree to have that song be the thing that introduces and takes us out. So, you know, as a fan of music and a fan of hers, and specifically for this conversation with Craig, it being a significant kind of connection point, I would strongly encourage you to use the link on the podcast and or go on to Apple Music or whatever live stream that you use and get her latest album. And you know, I definitely can promise and guarantee you that you'll be pleased. It's a great album. She's a great artist, and I really love that track. All right, so let's dive in. If you all know of the iconic and magnanimous, is that the word? Is that a word?
Magnanimous? It is a word. Magnanimous. I don't know if it's appropriate, but sure, keep going.
Magnanimous Craig Garrett, I have the honor and pleasure of having him sitting next to me. I'm physically hitting him on the shoulder.
He is.
Craig.
Good morning, Reggie.
How are you, sir?
I am great.
I'm so excited to have you here.
It's good to be here, besides the fact that it's early for me. But other than that, it is good.
You know what? It's early for me as well.
Okay,
but
we're committed.
We got a show, you know. We're chasing our dream. And sometimes your dreams get up a little earlier than you're used to.
So. Well, your dreams should never really stop or sleep.
That's true. That's true. But that's another discussion.
It is another discussion. So,
I'm really excited to have you share with us. First, let's just kind of a bird's eye view flyover with your life and career to this point. Just give us a guided tour through significant milestones and or the path that got you to here. And then,
sure.
And then if you don't mind,
yeah.
We'll swoop down at certain points. I know that we got some really exciting, kind of pivot points you know, forks in the road that you were at that, if you don't mind, we can, you know, probe a bit.
I'm transparent. You can get it all.
I know. That's why I like you.
Get it all.
Okay, so come on. Give us a tour.
So I'm originally from New York. Moved to Atlanta my freshman year in high school. Went to Dunwoody High School. I started at Peachtree. Ended up going to Northwestern University to be a mechanical engineer. Graduated from there. Went to grad school at Michigan State. Mechanics. And then went into corporate America. And I worked in manufacturing operations, supply chain type roles throughout my entire career. Worked for Fortune 500 companies. So General Mills, Coca-Cola, Avon. Spent a long time at Clorox. Did a stint in consulting. Got laid off. And we'll go back to this, but probably a couple years before I got into consulting. Well, I've always done events, you know, for my friends,
right.
Whether it be small, whether it be a cooking class in my home, whether it be cooking for 300 people at the jazz festival. I've always put things together for people to have a good time.
And, you know, I can attest to that because even before I really knew you,
right.
I knew of your events. Like, I knew you were always quite fond of pulling people together, getting them in, you know, exquisite and or iconic events, making sure that, you know, you brought impressive, you know, people and feature either artists or personalities.
Or food. Yes, food's always a big component.
Absolutely.
But anyway, go on.
So I'm really excited. You know, the most exciting part of your story to me is to have seen that be a passion of yours while you were in corporate America and to see that passion win out, because now you've kind of built the life around that.
I have.
Yeah.
And really, you know, we've talked about it informally. You know, I've been doing events for a long time and never thought of it as a career. It was just something that I enjoyed doing. I was taught, like most of us, you go to college, get a degree, get a good job so you can give them your paper, you know, your degree, so they can give you a paper, you know, that paycheck every 2 weeks. And that was the path I was on for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I always enjoyed doing these other things outside, and through life circumstances, how corporate works, I was feeding my passion outside of work doing these events.
Right, right.
Ultimately, I got laid off. I decided I'm going to take the summer off.
Right.
Travel the world, enjoy my family, just chill,
right.
Enjoy.
Right.
And I got blessed with an opportunity to do the album release concert for Layla Hathaway. And we've kind of jumped ahead a little bit of the story, but that was a really pivotal moment for me because I was really going through some thoughts. Like, what am I going to do with myself? Like, I'm going to go back to work in the fall. This opportunity came about. I didn't really believe it at first. I thought it was a joke. We were probably four conversations and conference calls in before I was like, oh, they're serious. We did Layla's album release, sold out two shows in one night. It was phenomenal. It was the album that she has won.
It was phenomenal.
It was that, and that's the album. It was the first night. The album was released that day, so we were the first show. And she subsequently has won 3 Grammys for that album. So, you know, for me, it wasn't the beginning of the career, but it definitely that night catapulted us to a different place. Introductions. I think it gave a different level of credibility to what we were doing.
Right, right.
So it was exciting. But I had done shows before this, but it was more of a side passion. Like, I didn't care if I made money.
Okay.
You know, I had a job.
Okay.
I lost a little bit of money.
Right.
It was like, okay, well, I put on a concert for my friends.
Right.
We had
a
good time.
Right, right.
But then when that happened, I talked to my team of advisors, my personal advisors, when the layoff happened, and then that summer I was like enjoying myself.
Right, right.
And as we talked about it, you know, like, what are you going to do? And I was talking about, you know, bouncing ideas off. A couple of them were like, don't go back to work. You don't want to do that. It's clear that you enjoy this. People love what you're doing. They come out, they respond. The people that you're working with, the artists, they respond. Do this. And this is when the Layla Hathaway thing was all, so it's all coming together at the same time.
Mm.
Layla Hathaway happened. It was a great experience. I learned a ton. We made a bunch of mistakes. And then ultimately, I saw it. I saw, like, this could be possible. And then I pulled a Dave Chappelle, and I went to South Africa for a month.
Right.
And literally sat on my friend's couch for the better part of a month. I dipped over to another country for a hot second for just to have some scuba diving,
right.
which you know I love to do.
Absolutely.
And I came back and sat on his couch for another week, and I remember the idea was there. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it full time. Called my sister. I said, I'm coming home tomorrow. Jumped on a plane, flew back, and I was like, we're doing this. That was, you know, late December, beginning of January. I went and formalized the company, incorporated, set up the bank accounts. You know, even though I was already operating, I was doing it as sole proprietor. It was,
right.
it was a hobby.
Right, right.
And at that point, I said, I'm all in. And here we are now, a year and a half later, I guess, or a year later, however you want to look at it. But I've been, you know, the company's been growing and percolating for probably the better part of 20 years. It became embryonic, we'll say, probably 5 years ago. And then we birthed it probably, you know, 15 months ago.
So, you know, as illustrious as Craig can be, he can also be a little modest. And so we're kind of, you know, given that Atlanta is becoming the Hollywood of the South, we're going to take movie shooting production to this conversation. All right. So, and what I've heard about some of the great movies, the great films, is that what they do is they shoot the last scene first, and then they go back and start shooting the rest of the movie to tell the story. So with there's still more color commentary to come about where things are now, because you've got some really exciting things that are either here now or on the horizon. Please don't let us forget to talk about those things.
No, absolutely.
But let's go back, because there's some really rich experiences, lessons learned, triumphs, challenges on your path that I think a lot of people have in common. You know, I would say that in a lot of ways, you have been really true to this passion you have around music and entertaining and events and food. And before I really knew you as a person, I knew of those things you were doing. Even this isn't, be honest, Craig, this isn't your first time in front of a radio microphone, is it?
It is not.
Exactly, right? So you're pretty experienced. In fact, I'm a bit of a novice here sitting next to you. You were telling me how to turn my mic on, right? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was just,
good.
I was being comfortable with the technology right. that was in front of me.
All right, so don't act brand new, I guess is my big point. Don't act brand new.
This is not my first microphone.
So, but Sharon, you know, tell us about, like, I had an opportunity to see the show that you were doing on the jazz radio station.
Clark so I was... Got an opportunity a few years to join the board of WCLK, the advisory board of WCLK Radio, 91.9, the longest running jazz station in the country, based here at Clark Atlanta University. I was on the board a couple years in. I got an opportunity to become the chair of the board. But even before that, they have an event every year or every quarter, most quarters, called Signature Serenade, where they bring in people from the community, business people, celebrities, whomever, for a night to basically raise funds for the station, and you get to come in and play the music that you want to play.
Okay.
And as you know, I put my own twist on everything.
Right.
And my show is fun. You know, I bring in personal experiences. I talk about it, you know, songs, how they're personal to me, how they connect to my life, you know, and I get real personal. I mean, you know, songs that are tied to failures in relationships, emotions, to scuba diving, to deaths that we've had in our family or our network of friends that have really impacted, obviously, the person who lost, but how that person or their parent impacted us personally because of the relationship. So it's a lot of fun. So it's I've raised a lot of money. With the exception of the first year, I've won every time. So thank you for everyone who has supported. It's been great. I love it. I enjoy it. And, you know, I got a little bit of an ego. I get to take the cup home every quarter that I win. So I do it once a year in the spring. Usually, this is actually the first spring that I'm not doing it.
Okay.
But I think we're gonna. I'm giving you insight. I think we're gonna do like a Champions Week.
Okay. Okay.
Probably around the 45th anniversary. So we're working through it, but it's been fun.
That's exciting. That's exciting. And you know, like I said before this conversation, I didn't even let you know I was gonna go there.
I'm pretty sure you're gonna surprise me a lot of things in this conversation.
I got a couple. Right.
I do know.
But that was important to bring to this conversation, just because I think the thing that I would love to see more people do is that you've always stayed very true to your passions. You don't just necessarily have something to, oftentimes when I'm working with a client and we're trying to surface passions and gifts and motivations in order to frame up forte for them, what we find is that people have passions that have been buried.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they've been things that they either saw as not attainable immediately or in some ways distant, and so they don't pursue them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I often encourage people to, you know, take baby steps, you know, do things that, you know, people talk about the concept of a side hustle.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of people have side hustles just as a way to bring their surface, their passions to surface and see where it goes.
Right.
See if they can get, you know, if it can get legs and, you know, take you into something that can be done really in a lot of cases within roles and or careers that they're in,
mm-hmm.
if you're intentional about it, but it may even take you to things beyond. So I want to applaud that about you. I think that's been really, I think that is something that in a lot of cases, you know, could cast you as a bit of a poster child around like how to stay true to your passions, how to do something with it and just kind of wait on the universe to signal when it's time to go. And clearly you got the signal.
I did.
Because you've gone.
I have gone.
Yeah.
And to that point, for me, it was truly a passion. Like if you had asked me 5 years ago, would I be doing this right now? I'd have been like, absolutely not.
Right.
But if you ask me the things that I love, it may not be the exact frame of what we're doing now,
mm-hmm.
but to your point, the DNA was there. I've
right.
always loved music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't club. I've never clubbed. If I say I'm going out, 95% of the time you can assume there's going to be live music,
right.
or I'm going to get some food, or I'm spending time with my godkids and my friends. That's what I do. So music is a big part of my life. You know, I have a lot of musician friends. It's who I am. So it just became obvious when these opportunities between the radio station, people that I met, all disparate, you know, if you looked at it individually, they were just isolated events.
Right.
And then one day I look back over the course of about 18 months and I'm like, oh, this was supposed to happen. These things that made no sense at the time or were very nebulous, they were all coming together. The universe was saying, we're putting these things in a place so that you can go pursue this thing that is in you. And then, you know, it's been a journey. Like I didn't have a business plan at first.
Right.
I didn't have a path. You know, I didn't have the services of you to come in and say, here's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm trying to create. It was dumped in my lap. It's like a raw piece of clay.
Mm-hmm.
I like clay. Okay, well, it's fine. Oh, it's a good piece of clay. And then
right.
we start to form it. And then when it became intentional, it's like, okay, I am going to do this. Then the corporate side of me kicked in.
Right.
Okay, well,
right.
okay, well, now I've got to do certain things from very basic stuff like getting a tax ID number,
mm-hmm.
setting up checking accounts, those things. But then it was also, what is my plan? What do we want to be? And what's as important as what I want to be, what don't I want to be?
Right, right.
Because, you know, now we get calls all the time that say, hey, we want to work with you. We want to do this. And that's very humbling, and I'm appreciative. But like they say, all money is not good money. All opportunities aren't good opportunities.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they're also
that's
not
important to know. Yeah.
And I know me. Like there's
right.
certain. So when I first started doing this, I was like, I only want to do musicians that I personally want to hear and love. Well, unfortunately, some of them are dying off. That makes it a little tough to work with them. But when you're having a business, you know, we're providing a service. So I had to expand a little bit. But just because there's an opportunity to provide doesn't mean that's good for us. Like, I probably will never do a country show. I just made that up.
Right.
I might do a country show. But it's not – right now it's not in the plan.
Right. Right.
So I'm very strategic on the artists that we do. You know, I want to provide something that is generally family-friendly. Anybody can come. It's accessible. And it's really based in art and music.
Okay.
Like, real singers, real musicians. You know, we don't do track shows. Like, I get calls all the time, oh, we can lower the price to do a track show. I'm like, I don't do track shows. Because people have come to know us as providing great entertainment, great musicianship. So I never want somebody to buy a ticket. And not there's anything wrong with a track
right,
show,
right.
but for me, it loses part of what's the experience for you. So I'd rather sacrifice the opportunity than to give our fans and the people that know us something that's less than what they're used to. Because when you come to a Next Level Event show,
right.
again, you don't come to see us.
Right.
Nobody comes to see Craig except for maybe my mom and my sister and my brother.
I come to see
you. Okay, well, you.
Okay.
But nobody's buying tickets to see, but they buy what Next Level provides,
exactly.
which is great entertainment,
right.
a great experience, hopefully from the time that you buy your ticket to the experience outside. If something goes wrong, how we resolve the problem,
mm-hmm.
to then when the lights go down and the curtains go up and whoever that great artist comes on, they're happy because we created an environment for the artist prior to their arrival, upon their arrival, that they feel great and they can give their best.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole night is a great experience.
And I think that's, you know, there's so much there that I would really like to go, you know, I've been kind of mentally placing a bookmark
mm-hmm.
on these points that you've made, and I want to go and, you know, come back and
sure.
you know, kind of bring them to the conversation. For you, particularly the question around, you know, knowing who you are and, you know, what your plan is, I think is really compelling and powerful thing to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back even further.
Sure.
Because I think you came to a place that's actually quite common, and it's interesting when you talk about having to experience having a layoff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, quick shout out to one of the sister talk radio shows here Up to Me. I have a, you know, sister co-host that hosts the show Life After Layoff. And I think that's because there's, you know, a plethora of people that are dealing with that career, life, and work disruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, you know, oftentimes, and if I can connect your experience to others, oftentimes, either clients or prospects will start the conversation, you know, when people ask me, you know, Reggie, when people call you to talk about, you know, laying out their forte and, you know, aligning their business or career, you know, with their purpose, the one common denominator is always when someone is getting ready to make a move. Now, that move might be self-propelled, it might be something that they're feeling themselves, or it might be something that is being kind of forced upon them. But there's that one consistent is making a move, whether you're making a move forward in your career or peripherally,
yeah.
you know, to navigate your career elsewhere or shifting your role. But what I have seen some consistently and almost I would love to have some research to support this. But there is a feeling that people get when either they are beginning to unplug a bit at work and or a company is beginning to unplug from them. Somehow it's almost like kind of the pre-breakup stage,
right.
you know, and you don't know which one's going to get it first. Somebody's not feeling it. Somebody's not that into it
mm-hmm.
just anymore. And there are some things that you can do to re-engage or to reignite or to be intentional about plugging back in. But in a lot of cases, people are on the front end of a layoff, and either they can be proactive to try to figure out the pivot and like what's next, or they can try to restore it and try to make sure that they, you know, kind of get their career, you know, back on track. You chose to use that as an opportunity to create this pivot for this next level thing that you
mm-hmm.
you see. See what I did there?
I saw that.
I said a next level thing.
I did that.
I planned that, right?
You were intentional.
No. This commercial brought to you by. No, but seriously, I think how you process that fork in the road in your career, life, and work.
Mm-hmm.
is really pivotal. I mean, I'm sure it was, you know, highly consequential for you, but, you know, take us back to that time and kind of how you processed what was going on, particularly with your career and where you wanted to take things with your life.
Yeah, so for me, it was really interesting because I'd been in consumer products companies for a long period of time and made a shift into consulting, hopefully in that same space. It was very different for me, very different. So as I was going through that career, and it happened. Like I got a call on Thursday, like, hey, let's meet on Friday. Okay. Met on Friday. Oh, today's what? Oh, okay. So I go home and I'm like, okay, what do I do now? And you know, after you take a couple of days to figure out, like, well, I got a mortgage to pay, I got bills, and you go through that and you really kind of do self reflection. And for me, my self reflection came not at that moment, or the true self reflection came while I was away, because I knew I was just gonna do nothing, which was travel, be at home, cook, you know, the green egg, cut my grass.
Right.
That time period was really used to think about things, and I think the universe, God, was like, we need to help him in this, so let's drop this opportunity in him that says all those other ones that you just kind of ignored and like all the signs that say go do this. If you don't get it after this, we're going to take you out of here. And that's when the Layla came out, and it was really catapulted me into having to really think about it and push forward and have a really serious conversation with myself. That I literally sat in South Africa for, let's just say, a month, and really thought about, like, what am I going to do? I was by myself. He's a consultant.
Right.
And was traveling the world. So I was literally on his couch just sitting by the pool thinking.
Right.
And it was good for me. And I felt good when I came back and said, I'm not going to go back to corporate America. I'm going to give this a run. And if it doesn't work, that's fine.
Right, right.
But people talk about being on their deathbed. The one thing they don't want to have regrets, like, I wish I had done something. If this doesn't work out, I'll never look back and say, I wish I hadn't done it. Even if it goes up in flames, I will have a great time,
yeah,
some great stories, and had an experience of a lifetime. Now, I hope that does not happen, and we're going to do everything we can to
right.
make sure it doesn't.
Right.
But I'm pushing forward and following something I do enjoy. Now, it's work. People see the outcropping
right.
or the output, which is
right.
the event. But, you know, I'm on conference calls. I disagree. We've got contracts and negotiations and disputes. Those are all things that are no different. It's just that at the end of the project, instead of having a product come out or a service, we provide a service, but it's a great experience. It's
right.
live music
right.
or an event that people generally come and have a great time for. But other than that, you know, I'm on spreadsheets every morning. I'm looking at reports every morning. Right before we came on, I was looking at my ticket sales for Shaka Khan that's coming up,
right.
you know, a little over a week. It's a business, and I operate it the same way that I would have done when I was running a manufacturing plant.
That's outstanding, and I think that one of the things that is a really, really valuable lesson from that is this notion of taking a passion and putting a business around it is not for the faint at heart. And you and I have had a couple of conversations where we're just kind of, you know, on the phone crying on each other's shoulder just about how challenging that can be. There's a few hangups in it. I mean, you know, if it's a passion, you love to do it, and you love to do it. You know, a lot of cases, particularly in working with other people, you know, you can undervalue it because you think of it as something as that, oh, I'm so passionate about this, I can just create infinite amounts of it
yeah.
to the universe. I think it's really powerful to have you be aware of the blessing of God creating bringing this opportunity to you and then allowing the universe to kind of, you know, one of my quotes out often from The Alchemist, the universe conspiring in your favor. Now that you've kind of claimed this as
mm-hmm.
your own personal North Star, you know, you just kind of see the universe bring these opportunities to you.
Absolutely.
And so that, I think that's what, you know, given our shared passion, yours a bit more acute than mine, maybe. No, actually, we'll have some pretty.
Yeah.
We don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, another,
just move on.
Another day.
But we both love good music.
Yeah.
And, watching that passion for you, though, the thing you have done most definitely more than myself is to create a business and enterprise around that love of music
mm-hmm.
and to be able to share that with others. And you know, even to allow that sharing to be something that gives other people, in a lot of cases, our colleagues, our peers, people that share those passions, and escape for themselves. I
mm-hmm.
think that experience is really critical. I love hearing you talk about, you know, the on your deathbed experience. And as morbid as that seems, it's always a scenario that I encourage people to think about, because what it ultimately takes you to is this conversation about legacy and, like, what is your legacy? What do you aspire for your legacy to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to us a little bit about, know, what you aspire for that to be. And, you know, you could talk about it through the lens of, you know, more, you just share more in terms of like what you expect that, you know, deathbed experience to be, or what you expect to be on the tombstone.
Right.
Or if you prefer, you know, something brighter, perhaps you can think about like if life had a scoreboard.
Yeah.
And if you are a fan of, you know, given that you're an engineer and a supply chain guy, you might be a fan of, you know, metrics, and you get what you measure. So what would be the metric, you know, that you would want to put points on the board of, you know, with your life? Would it be, you know, people's whose lives were brightened by, you know, music experiences? Is it, you know, joy? Like what would be that metric? And I just gave you a few things that you can pass on that if you like.
No. So this is a great question that people ask me all the time that I don't struggle with it. I think people struggle with my response.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those people who's like, I've got to leave a legacy or this building in my name or this entity behind. I've just never been that. So if I was, for me, what would give me great joy that if, you know, I was able to look back on my life when I'm gone, you know, if people can say he was a great friend, he was loyal, you know, he loved music and he shared the things that he loved, he shared with people. And those things that I love, when you were talking about my passion, you know, food is one of them. International travel is another one. Obviously, music and scuba diving. And as I was going through this evaluation of what I wanted to do, all of those things were opportunities that I was thinking about. I never wanted scuba to become work because that's my sanctuary. That's my getaway. International travel, everybody's doing it a little harder, whatever. So for me, as long as people can say that they had a great time around me and I shared the things that I loved, I feel like my life would be good. And I helped somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. I don't need to have an empire. I don't need to leave a Lollapalooza festival behind. Now, if that happens, that will be great.
Mm-hmm.
I would love it. But for me, that's not my drive. My drive is to provide for people, they have a good time, and that they can say he did what he loved, and we loved being a part of what he provided.
So if we might have a bit of a coaching moment here.
Absolutely.
I think it's it speaks volumes that you see this as that you've got heightened sensitivity to the way that you share in that is experience.
Mm-hmm.
But frankly, I don't think it's any, you know, there's no level of diligence or, you know, heightened clarity that needs to come to declaring a legacy or even a purpose beyond what you just stated. So, you know, the next time anyone asks you about that and,
right,
you know, you're concerned about how they respond to that, I mean, you know, I think it's very clear to be able to say, I want to share the things that I love with others.
Yeah.
Now, what I have come to know about, you know, personal mission statements or purpose statements is you declare them, they should be personally inspiring for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're really designed for you. There's no authority, including myself,
right,
what it should be. So you know,
right,
go anybody out into that, out of that conversation about what that statement should be.
Right.
And once you, and it also isn't a permanent thing. It's not like if I say a purpose statement now, that's what they're going to put on my tombstone.
Right.
So as you navigate closer to it, it typically comes more into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it later might evolve into is to share things I love with others might then begin to get some specifics around it.
Right.
You know, music and food, or, you know, you might get really declarative around those things. And who knows, even as you get closer and closer, it might turn into through a festival that now that you want, you know, so,
right,
so the closer you get to it, there's no need to necessarily get like so specific in it that you set, you know, hurdles that you feel like you got to clear or not clear,
right,
and whether they're good or not. But I think for you, as long as it is inspiring, and it clearly is, then that's really the only criteria for, you know, for a good one. But I think that's a great place to kind of pause this conversation. This has been really intense. I appreciate you allowing us to be introspective and transparent in a way maybe we or you and I don't even get a chance to do. So thank
right.
you for that. I think, but it's a good chance for us to kind of take a break. And at this point, I just wanted to share with the listeners that you're listening to the Finding Your Forte show. And in a moment, we will be right back.
Executive producer Mel D, and thank you for tuning in. We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new, uplifting, and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalists, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn Fields, Less Stuff, More Meaningful Life. An up close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels. And there's so much more. So get your subscription today at up2memagazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
All right, and we're back. And as a reminder, we're sitting here today with Craig Garrett, founder and CEO of Next Level Events. The title is that good?
I'd just say founder and managing director.
Oh, is that? So
it's the same thing. Listen.
Have you figured out by now I like to make you a little uncomfortable? So,
you do. I've met you before.
Right. Okay.
Yes, we've had this conversation. CEO works.
Really? CEO. We're going to do that now?
No, we're
the
not.
Debo thing, we're going to do that now?
It's the same thing.
Okay, good.
The title, listen, at the end of the day, we're the people that work with me. Yes, I'm the leader, but at the end of the day, as I even said in corporate America, I never like to say someone worked for me. We
right.
work together.
Right, right.
So
I get that, and I know that, and I realize that it would make it a little uncomfortable to try to pretend that you've got facades around finally. And but people around me would know that, you know, that's, you know, to me it's much more important to impact your work,
right.
which you've got phenomenal impact in the work,
Thank
so
you.
That's why we're focusing on it. But anyway. This is a really good conversation because I think in a lot of ways, people will identify with the path that people navigate through making decisions about what happens next with them and being true to who they are and being true to their passions and making really consequential decisions about what's next. You know, we talked about the experience of, you know, working through the, you know, having been a part of a layoff. And, you know, and the economies in which we work now are so very different than the economies than they were 20, 30 years ago, where layoffs happen, you know, almost as consequential as a reorg, you know, or reorgs or, you know, a new annual report.
That's, right.
You know, opportunity for a new layoff. So it is something that it is important that we develop some competencies and share our experiences in a way that people can connect with them and frankly navigate what could be emotionally, socially, financially challenging times for them. So thank you for, you know, sharing, bringing us into that experience. But then you talked about this other experience that I'm eager to hear more about, both on the surface and veneer of it, just
mm-hmm.
Cape Town. It's right now tops on my most, you know, a destination that I so want to have happen for myself. So, but I'm curious to have you talk more about what that experience with that, you know, kind of personal retreat experience was like for
yeah.
you, kind of figuring out what's next.
Well, South Africa, and I'm going to go back, I guess it's 12 years now. My first experience was going to South Africa was in 2005. My good friend that's there now, who I always go see, had been trying to get me to come there for years. And like, hey, listen, Americans, you guys need to come over here. Life will be better for you. You know, the whole spiel, I'll give you the short version. And I went over there, and literally when I touched down, people say it changes your life when you go there, and it does. I don't know why, I can't explain it to you, but you feel something. You know, as an African-American man, there's a connection. There's something spiritual in it just being there. The people, the food, the air, there's something. I can't tell you what it is, but I can promise you it's there when you go. So for me, I've been going regularly. I try to go every year. It works out about every other year. But the last few years, I go every year. This time, I went very differently. I had no plan. I went for his birthday party. But the rest of the time was really just to just clear my mind. I had a one-way ticket, and I figured out when I figured out what I was there for, I'd come on back, and that's what happened. But there is something about that country that it just inspiring you to see people that have come through so much, you know, from apartheid to the challenges they have now, and they're still a loving and vibrant and beautiful, rich culture. Got problems, obviously, but it has transformed itself into this amazing place that I just have a personal connection with. So whenever I'm there, I always leave because you see people from all over the world, different opportunities, different places, stations in life, coming and thriving and doing great things. And so for me, I think it's kind of it was a little bit of a push. It was a quiet push because I could be in a place that inspires me, but be it by myself and listen. So I love South Africa. I'd encourage anybody that has the opportunity to go. It's not what, you know, media is not what it used to be around coverage of South Africa, but it still doesn't, you have to go to see it and experience it. From Johannesburg, which is the big city, to Cape Town, which is literally one of the most beautiful places in the world. You know, the city is based around the foot of a mountain. So you can be in the mountains in 15 minutes or in the ocean. And it's phenomenal. And I love it. And opportunity there. And education and people really trying to better their lives is part of the fabric of the culture. So for me, it's I go there for inspiration.
So share with us then what that inspiration moment was like for you in terms of figuring out what's next. Like, you know, what was it like to, you know, what kinds of thoughts, what kinds of, I wouldn't imagine that you necessarily went through any process, but more just kind of a...
Oh, the terrible process. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, we had a lot of success with that show.
Mm-hmm.
But I was at a crossroads. Mm-hmm. I was like, I see it. There's fear. Mm-hmm. There's that identity that we have. You know, you've been in corporate America, this lifestyle that people see that you're, you know, I traveled all the time. So I was mm-hmm. going different places, leading plants, leading people, you know, not having that identity. So being able to be comfortable to strip myself away from that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was going to have a little identity crisis. And then there's also the unknown of I didn't plan to be, you know, not working or starting a business. And, you know, there were days that I was shook. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I sat by myself on this beautiful couch and had no idea what I was going to do. And I just thought and I listened. And a lot of it wasn't thinking about the business. It was just let me sit here and see what comes. You know, there were days that I didn't see anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I just let the thoughts come to me. And then as the days went on, I was working on things still, you know, email back and forth, talking to some people, some opportunities. And through that process, the formulation started to happen. And then being in a place I was inspired, it's like, okay, now that the fear's gone, now that you can either crumble and be a wreck, you can give up and go back to what you know and go into corporate and, you know, probably repeat this cycle again and get here at some point later on.
Right.
Or you can say, listen, you're young. You can always get a job. All the signs are there. Go do this.
Right.
And I fortunately put my arms around and I said, I'm going to take this opportunity in life. I'm going to go do this.
Okay.
And literally, that moment that I sat there and it happened, I remember I had just taken a hat off that I had on that didn't make sense to have on in the first place. And I put it down and the thought came and it was like, you're going to do this. And I literally sent a text to my sister. I was like, I'll be home. I've made a decision. Got on, booked the flight, and came home. And that was it. I mean, it wasn't this great crescendo of like, oh, moment. It was just kind of, all right, you've been thinking about this. You've been over here. Blank and get off the pot.
Right.
and that's what it was. Right. I mean, it was that simple. I mean, literally, it was that clarity moment. I had a couple calls earlier, and it was just like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I was done. I literally went upstairs, packed my bag, got up the next morning, went to the airport, and took that 16-hour flight home, which is a commitment. But go ahead.
So, for the record, that was a crescendo with the angelic choir singing, that high thing you just did. What was that?
It was a shout to your amazing organization.
Oh, no. Beyond that, though, the high note that you hit there.
I don't know what you're talking about, Reggie.
It's on the recording, so we'll just listen to it later.
That's what edits are for.
I think we heard angelic choir singing. That was amazing. But anyway.
You heard singing. I don't know if it was angelic or choirist, but it was a sound that I didn't.
It was a high note that you had.
Yeah.
I love giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
But I think what's really helpful to pull away from that is, kind of how you dealt with these pivotal moments, the layoff, the, personal retreat in Cape Town. Thank you for sharing what that experience is like. Given the ebb and flow and the, not for the faint at heart nature of solopreneurship or entrepreneurship, let's be real for a moment.
Absolutely.
How often have you thought, maybe I shouldn't have done this? Maybe I ought to get a job.
At least once a day.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I went from working at big companies that every 2 weeks I knew I was going to get a very nice check. And then most times, once a year, I was going to get even a nice, hey, here's a good job check.
Right.
To now I don't know when my next paycheck is going to come.
Right.
And the other part is my event may lose money.
Right.
So not only do I not make money,
right,
my savings or where I did it, I'm giving it back.
Right.
So I think about it all the time. I think as an entrepreneur, you have to think about it, but what do you do with that?
Right.
Do you use that as motivation? Do you harness it as fear and let it derail you? I just think about it from a number sense.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have no desire to work for anybody else ever again.
Right.
I don't.
Right.
Now, there may come a time that I may need to, but I use it as a gauge to say, okay, where are we in the business? Do we need to raise capital?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it personally. But it's more of just a mental inspiration. That's what I use it for.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go do that. I can. I mean,
right.
I don't hate
right.
it. It's not this horrible place.
Right.
But for me, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I enjoy waking up. So I'll tell a quick story. I know we're short on time. I used to struggle to get up. I'm not a morning person. I would struggle to get up to go to my job every day. And I actually enjoy it a lot of times. But if I was, like, on a diving trip, I could go to bed at 4, wake up at 4:30, to be on the dive boat at 5:15, and it was no problem.
Right.
And it's the things that you love doing,
mm-hmm.
it gives you energy and you feel good about it and you're excited about it. That's what I do about this.
Right.
I mean, I'm up this morning, so I'm, come see you, and I'm happy to do it. It's
right.
part of the business. Yes, there's frustrations, but I look forward to it. I look forward to the things that are on the horizon. I'm excited about them. Again, do I necessarily make the money that I made in corporate? Absolutely not.
Right. Right,
hopefully it will
right,
come,
right.
but my motivation isn't money. I don't do this because I'm trying to get rich. I do this because I enjoy it, I love it, and hopefully it will provide me a lifestyle that ultimately I want to lead. Now, for me, the benefit that I have, and I think you personally know, is I live a very simple lifestyle. I don't keep a lot of debt. I have a mortgage. I my cars have been paid for more than a decade. So for me, the financial pressure for me is less.
Mm-hmm.
If I can cover my mortgage and my utilities and food, I'm good.
Right.
And I live simply.
Right.
So I can be excited about what we're doing, where we're headed, without a clear financial path.
Right. Right.
You follow me?
I completely get it.
Yeah.
So I think that we talked a little bit about passions and that so. Having the opportunity to be a part of that conversation, we can walk away with clarity around music and food and, events and entertaining others and sharing the things you love. And scuba. it's interesting, and I'm glad you said that because it's fascinating to be able to draw the line between, hobbies and interests and passions. And the thing for me that I think often separates passions from hobbies and interests are, passions are something usually you're so passionate about them that you put in work behind them. So you can look at the track record
mm-hmm.
of where you've been, and you can see where you've either built deep expertise and it worked well beyond what was required of you. I talk about, for me, this whole notion around, you know, finding a forte and, you know, executive and leadership coaching came through the observation of, through my consulting career, I've always been really passionate about helping other people be successful, mm-hmm. even when it wasn't my job. Like,
right.
you know, even as a new hire in consulting, I would spend as much time, you know, on campus doing recruiting as I would, well, maybe not as much time, but certainly I was a go-to for the recruiting team to
right.
say, hey, Reggie, will you come help us with this event? Of course they know I would love it. I love carrying the flag of
right.
the company and, you know, connecting other people with opportunities. And so just kind of looking at those dots of experiences that express passions that you can then frame up and create a business for around them is a really critical thing for everyone to do.
Uh-huh.
For you, if I took the conversation to from passions to gifts, I would ask for you to share gifts that you saw in your corporate experience that were transient that you still get a chance to leverage today. And, you know, whenever I'm talking to clients about gifts, it's always a interesting conversation because it's the one that it's least reliable for people to be as aware of their gifts as passions and motivations.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because you might not acknowledge them as gifts because you're just doing you. But if you ask the people around you, like so if you ask your bosses or the people that you worked with or people that you even experience now, they can clearly identify your gifts because they know the things that they kind of go to you for.
Right.
They know the things that they can count on you to be better than the average bear
mm-hmm.
around. You know, when you think about things that you that were gifts in your, you know, kind of corporate and professional lane
mm-hmm.
and that you even get a chance to tap into now, is there anything that comes to mind for you?
Yeah, there's a couple. So similar themes. It's around people, one of them. I always had the ability to, communicate and connect with anybody. So I could be talking to the CEO of the company, but I also could connect to the janitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I treated everybody the same level of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the things that I was always lauded for in my corporate career was I was always able to inspire people to do things either greater than they wanted to do or do things that they didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And not because it was a hard hand or I was beating them under pressure.
Right.
You know, I was able to influence to see the greater good.
Right.
Those are things that was a gift that I had.
Okay.
The communication. And then just also being able to, I don't take no very well. You know, okay, maybe I can't do this. But give me what options that I can do. So being able to find solutions in the absence of a solution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm always pushing for, I'm a little bit out of the box, you know, not to use that same terminology that's overplayed. But, yeah, I don't like to just, I definitely forge my own path. I
right.
beat my own drum. And at times, it caused me problems in my corporate career. But the results usually proved them wrong, but
mm-hmm.
allowed people to say, I hate the way he does it,
mm-hmm.
but man, he gets it done.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, because it was uncomfortable for me. I had a boss that hated the way I did stuff because he was old school, very traditional, in at 7 o'clock in the morning, did desk checks, and I was not that guy.
Yeah. yeah.
And it made him uncomfortable. So for me, being able to connect to people and get things done and do things the way that I want to do them was it.
And so I think that, you know, if I took that and we explored together how that would show up in the, you know, corporate realm
mm-hmm.
and be transient in your current realm, you know, and I like to think in context of Gallup's Strengths Finder, and there's like four domains of strengths, and one of them is around relationships and building relationships,
mm-hmm.
and communication being at the core of that. I would imagine that showed up in like stronger team dynamics and,
absolutely.
You know, people loving the experience of working with you because they knew that you were going to be fair. They knew that you were going to be clear. They're going to be candid and supportive and, you know, have a really natural, you know, kind of coaching and development profile. And that can translate into your current world and just the artists that you're working with and or the teams that you're bringing to bear
yeah.
and the audiences that you're engaging and just having your finger on the pulse of just having a really good emotional, EQ, whatever,
yeah.
Being able to connect all of those things in a way that creates these magnificent experiences that you're so passionate about.
Yeah.
So I definitely see how the dots connect, and I think that's a really compelling and powerful conversation for every that, you know, all listeners should have with yourself. And, you know, and you know, to that extent, you know, I would love to have those conversations with you. You know, we're at a point in this conversation, I think it's been a great one. I really appreciate you spending some time with us. You have some pretty exciting things on the horizon, and I definitely want to not leave any of the color commentary of that out. I know that you've got a big show coming up with the magnificent Ms. Chaka Khan.
That's correct.
And maybe there's a couple other things you kind of want to share. So
yeah.
Why don't you leave us now. You can give us the final scene in the Craig movie that we
right. So yes, your lead in is right. My next show, and actually we just had a show this past weekend with up and coming star Ro James. We sold it out, moved to the larger venue, had a great show, great time. But I've got Chaka Khan in Savannah, March 10th. It's Chaka Khan. She's an icon, the legend.
Right.
There's no more that needs to be
exactly.
said.
Right.
A couple days later, we're going to have the jazz R&B sensation Jose James here in Atlanta at Center Stage Theater. 2 days later, one of my curated series that we're doing out at Bankman's, it's called Prince the B-Sides, where we bring together really talented musicians and present different artists' music. This one happens to be Prince's B-Sides catalog, which is his kind of famous B-Sides of the 45
right.
that he did.
Right.
And then in April, we've got a couple-week gap after a nice little back-to-back set of
right.
shows.
Right.
We're going to have four-time Grammy Award winner Christian McBride
okay.
at Variety Playhouse. So
okay.
excited about that. Then in November, we've got things I can't announce yet, but we've got in November, we're going to be back in Savannah.
Is this the part where I'm supposed to try to probe you for something that no other show can get out of you? So
I'll get to that. I'll get to that.
Good.
Yeah.
Give me something.
I'm going to give you something.
All right.
we're going to have the very, very talented Gregory Porter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, down in Savannah. And then I'll give you something. It's not to say ideally, but we were going to launch our festival this year. So we talked earlier
wow.
about leaving a legacy. The goal is always kind of dependent to be a festival. People say, well, who's your idol and who are you trying to be like? And we talk about people like Jay Carter
right.
in Atlanta, who's
right.
doing a phenomenal thing.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
And I take cues for him. Let's be honest. He's killing the game.
Right.
But my real inspiration, to be honest with you, is Claude Knobs. Mm-hmm. And Claude, for those that don't know, is the gentleman that started the Montreux Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of, now obviously Savannah is not my hometown and Atlanta technically not. Even though I've been here a long time. But I want to create a festival that incorporates the things that I love, music and food, and then we'll throw in wine, even though I'm not a wine lover. But that experience. So we were going to do it this year. It just makes more sense now that we're probably going to do it in 2018. But don't feel like we're giving up. We got a lot of things that we're going to push through and be announcing very soon. So
so exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be an interesting ride. You know, where is it going to all go? I don't know. And who we're going to get a chance to work with. But I think I put in the work. I've built the relationship.
Yeah.
I've connected with people. I've brought a professionalism to them that they're not used to most promoters and producers having, which I think is part of what separates me or at least makes me unique.
Right.
So I think it's exciting time. Like, what's nice about it is instead of me having to bang down doors to get opportunities, we get calls now. Hey, would you like to work with? Or, hey, we're routing. Would you like to take somebody on tour for
right.
3 to 5 cities in the
wow.
Southeast.
Wow.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an unknown. We did our first tour with Layla.
Right.
We took Layla Hathaway and Jared Lawson. It was a 3-city tour. It was great, very successful. Her team loved it. We're probably going to expand on that. So 2017 is going to be exciting. 2018 is going to be even more exciting.
Man.
And hopefully you can have me back and talk about some other things, you know, down the road. And
that would
listening.
Be tremendous. I would love to have you back. And
yeah.
you've got such exciting things on the horizon. I definitely wanted to have you share that. And I think that, you know, you've got, you know, so many moving parts and things that are popping up, you know, I'm sure feels like daily, that it would be great to be able to know how to keep up with those things. And so I would encourage listeners that appreciated hearing Craig's story and want to continue to follow the happenings of Next Level, definitely either go to their website, nextleveratlanta.com, or go to their Facebook page.
Yep.
And they do a pretty good job of keeping posted there, the events that they have on the horizon. I definitely keep my eye on it. I've had the opportunity to share with, you know, in some cases, long lost high school friends that Craig is bringing a show to Savannah and they show up.
Yep.
You know, so
thank you for that.
Absolutely. I mean, as you know this person, but I say this just because we've got company with us.
Right.
But I'm a huge fan. I want to continue to see you prosper. If there's anything I can ever do to help you do that, definitely let me know. But I wish you continued blessings and prosperity as you continue to do the things, bring us the things that you share, the things that you love with us.
Well, I thank you. You have been a supporter informally and formally.
Yeah.
Back before this was what it was.
Right. Right.
So, no, thank you. And keep doing the show. This show is great. It's important. It inspires people. You're touching on so many different aspects of people's lives. So thank you for having me. And I know I'm probably a little bit different than your normal guest, but I love listening and I'll keep listening and I'll keep coming. You keep asking.
Well, you know, the thing you have in common with guests and all is that you've got a calling and that you've been true to it and that you've been, you know, dialed into your passions and your gifts and your motivations. And really, that's the only thing they have in common. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. That's going to do it for our Finding Your Forte show for today. And I want to thank again our amazing guest, Craig Garrett. And with that, we will leave you and ask that you, you know, find your forte, compose your masterpiece, and play your crescendo.
My dreams from deep inside.